I hope you're enjoying the good weather, and I hope you're enjoying the Word of God. We've been through this series for a little while now, and we're trying to answer the question, who is God? And a couple of weeks ago, as I was trying to prepare for today, I was meditating at this question, who is really God? You know, we have a certain image or vision or know certain things about God. But reality is we are limited in our understanding. It's like vision. Just this week, someone was telling me that as a young person, your vision is kind of this wide. And as you grow older, your vision widens. But then when you grow older than that, your vision again goes narrower and narrower. And the reality is, when we try to get to know God, we are limited in our understanding. We are limited because of our human nature. We can only take so much when it comes to knowing who God really is. However, God is not limited, and He reveals Himself through the Scripture. He reveals Himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very interesting reading the Gospels. I'm sure you've read, some of you, John chapter 14. And there is a situation where Thomas the apostle asks Jesus a few questions about himself. And Jesus tells him that I am the way. And then Philip interferes. He hears this conversation. He interferes and says, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus says to him, somehow perplexed by his question, Philip, I've been with you for such a long time, and did you not know me? So do we want to know God? We look at Jesus, and we're going to find in Jesus the revealed God. He was just there in front of them, but they didn't understand him. We're not better than the disciples. That's a reality. You know, if we think that we're smarter 2,000 years later than the disciples, we're wrong, because we're not. And we still need Jesus to understand who God really is. Because he is the image of the invisible God, the embodiment of God's character. And he's here on the pages of the Scripture for each one of us to understand. In this passage, Jesus tells a story about himself. So the story starts like this, you know. A certain man prepared a great banquet. Well, it's that certain man is him. And the story about himself, he didn't want to offend anyone. And so he made this story available for everyone who was listening so they can get the point. Jesus often tells stories in order to reveal truth to those who are listening to him. And the story is very simple. It's not a new story. It's an old story. It started long time before in the Garden of Eden. God is generous and loving. People are rebellious. And they don't like to listen to God. God gets angry with that. And then God calls the unworthy, and hopeless people get saved. It's a wonderful story. If I was to put this in a very simplistic way, in a few points, that is what the way I put it. Very simple. This is what God does. This is what people do. So I'm going to talk about the first part. God is loving and generous. A certain man puts up a banquet. No one has asked him to do that. He spends a lot to put this all this goodness available for those who really loves, and he calls to come and enjoy his presence. When he prepares the banquet, he's not just putting together loads of meats, loads of, I don't know, barbecued sausages or anything like that. He puts in it everything for the best of those he invites. He wants to have fellowship. I mean, just an example. If you have someone for a barbecue at your house, why do you invite people there? Do you just want to, I don't know, have a good name on the outside that everyone knows, oh yes, Dave has put a nice barbecue this Sunday, let's all go and enjoy it. No, you want to have a good time. You want to develop your relationship. You want to create that fellowship. You want to know people. And how can you do that unless you have that time when you set aside and you have good food? Good food opens loads of doors, doesn't it? You agree with me? And when this man puts this banquet, he's not just about the food. He's not just about, the chosen cuts of meat. He's about the relationship with the people he invites. And you see, that was real in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve was there in the garden. What did God do? He created a perfect garden where they can enjoy the goodness of God, His generosity, but also they could enjoy His presence. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve was walking in the coolness of day with God. What a wonderful place to be. But like in the Garden of Eden, things happen and people find different priorities. And the reality is people reject God. People rejected this man's call, come for everything is ready now. They found all sorts of excuses. And if Paul was here, I would have asked him today, are you going to buy a piece of land as a real estate, investor without going to see it? And the answer, I'm sure, would be no. I mean, today, if you want to buy a house, it takes months and months until you do all your paperwork, all the checks and all that. You will all know this. You know, you don't buy a piece of land. I mean, some people smile at the back because for some it takes longer than that. But the reality is, you don't buy a piece of land and then you say, oh, by the way, I just bought this piece of land. I'm going to go and see how it looks like. You don't do that, do you? And someone else says, oh, by the way, I'm an agriculture machinery dealer. I just bought a few pairs of oxen. I'm just going to go and try them out. No, you don't do that. The reality is, if you buy a piece of machinery, you go and try it first. You look at everything that has or doesn't have, and then you decide if you pay the price or not. And then someone else says, and this comes closer to all of us, well, I just got married. And everyone knows, a particular man and a happy wife, it means what? Happy life. So then, of course, I can't go to this party if my wife disagrees with it, if she doesn't want to come along, or, you know, we've got something booked for today. Excuses, excuses, excuses. We can find, you know, an infinity of excuses. And people will find infinity of excuses. But that only reveals something about ourselves. What it reveals about ourselves is the state of our heart. You know, when these people were invited to the feast, this important person wanted them to enjoy their presence, they actually said, you know what? There are other things that are more important than you. And that is heartbreaking. We're told that the person gets angry. And would you blame him or her, this person, to get angry? No, I wouldn't. God gets angry with every single time when we say no to Him, every single time we reject God, every single time when we despise His generosity. We've not done anything to deserve anything that He gives us. But every time we say no, we disrespect, we disregard God. When we say, yes, we can live without you, we got our own business, we got our own money, we're going to deal with the consequences of our own choices. Romans 3 pictures this very, very well. When Paul writes, he says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There are none who understands, no one who seeks God. And this is a heavy judgment all on the people on the face of the earth. And if we think that any of us are better, well, let me just tell you, just because you are here in church, it doesn't mean you're better and you're excluded from these verses. No, we're not. For everyone, every single one have fallen short of the glory of God. But then God does something, or this person does something amazing. You see, it sounds all gloom and all dark. But God says to His servant, look, they didn't want to come. They didn't really want to have a relationship with me. That's it. No problem. Go and send people to the corners of the streets. Go and call those who really, really need food for their body, food for their soul. Call those who really hunger and thirst. Go and call for those who are despised, never been invited to a barbecue. Go and call those who no one says hello to them on the street. Go and call those who, in normal circumstances, no one will take any notice of them. Go and look for them. Go and look intensively to find them. And that is God's generosity again. Because when ours is ended, he's just starting. I think this story really teaches me the fact that I'm not better than others. If I go around the room and I ask those of you who've been walking with the Lord for a little while, where you've been and where you are now, I'm sure I'm going to find loads of answers where people will say, well, I've been rejected and worthless, but God has given value to my life. He really loved me. He really has been generous to me. He really embraced me. He really brought me home. You see, his feast is for such who really, really need his goodness. We were discussing with Barnaby about this passage a little while ago. And one of the things that maybe I didn't see in this passage before was that God is inclusive. He's made the call to those who thought that they are someone, and they rejected him. But then he said, well, if you don't want to come to my feast, I'm going to open the gates wide. And he goes and he includes every single person that they can find. Come in, come, for everything is ready now. And not only that, his place is not a limited place. You see, they go once out, the servants go out once, they make the call, and we will think, well, that's it. No, there was still room in his house. Now we are told in verse 21, his house, the house owner, he was owning his house, and there was still more place for people to come. So come, there is no limitation. There is enough space for everyone, no exception. Well, that's quite a story. It's quite a story because if that is the God that we should know, then what is our response? Before this morning, I thought of three responses, but as I was praying here, I had the fourth one because I was thinking, it must be more than this. So, for those of you who've been Christians for many years, you've been in this church for 20, 30, 50, 60, I don't know if anyone has been here longer than that, but here we go. If you've been a Christian for a long time, and you had that grace, and you've known the power of Christ, and you know that on that day when you were lost, and no one looked at you, he looked at you, and he brought you out of there, and he gave you a hope and a future. For those of you, I'm just going to ask you, think of his generosity and be grateful. The worst thing that you would ever experience, grumbling Christians who complained about everything. But we are grateful because when we think of the grace of God that has saved us, we cannot say any bad words. We cannot say anything, but just say, Lord, you know where I've been. Lord, you know where I've been. You know I was a wretched man. You know I've been an easygoing woman. You know, I was a liar. You know, I was gossiping all the time. You know how this was eating me inside and the sin was destroying me. Lord, I know all that. I've been there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you that you never end your love to me. So, if you ever have that whisper in your ear that says to you, oh, why don't you complain about something? You know, remember where you've been. Remember where you've been. It's good to go there, not to dwell in that place, but remember where you've been and remember what Jesus done to you. That's one application. Secondly, being part of the Lord's feast and enjoying His goodness comes with a responsibility. We've just taken part in the communion service. We've taken the bread and the wine. And that calls us to service. You see, this house owner, this important person, commanded his servants, go and take my request or take my call to those who need to come to the feast. No one will get to know the Lord unless someone is going to proclaim the good news. And the good news is, you're lost, you can be saved. You're a wretched man, you have no hope, there is hope. And that's coming through Jesus our Lord. You see, there are many areas of service, and we do struggle sometimes to cover some areas, and some people here in the church are stretched by doing and being involved in many areas. But there are some of us who are not that involved. I'm just going to challenge you this morning and say, do you maybe think that now is the moment to see if the Lord is calling you to serve in certain areas? Just remember the feast that He's put up for you. Remember the goodness He's prepared for you. Remember what He's done for you at the cross. The call is for you to serve. Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. Maybe this summer, it's the summer of a fresh start in not only in your relationship with God, but in the way you serve the Lord. If you feel that that is what is God's telling you this morning, do come and talk to myself, to Barnaby, or one of the elders. I'm sure we can find a job for you. Second application, well, actually, this is the third one, not the second one. The third application is for those of us who've never said yes to the Lord. We've been in church for many years. As myself, I grew up in church. I used to go almost every Sunday with my mother in church, and until one day when someone challenged me and said, what do you think about God? And after a very long, embarrassing pause, I said, very simple, I just believe it exists. It existed somewhere there, you know, in a very strange area where I wasn't part of. But again, God is calling, come, everything is ready. And the question is, what else do you need to make you step towards God? What else do you need? The table is laid. Christ has died on the cross. Those words, come, everything is ready, are very similar with what Jesus says on the cross. He was hanging there, had your sins upon Him and our sins, all of us. And then He says at the end, those words, it is finished, it's done. What else do you want? What else do you want God to do for you? I mean, maybe you are a teenager. Maybe you don't really, not really understand this life that much. When I was 15, that was the call on my life, and I was just 15 years old. And don't tell me that at 15 years old or older, you don't understand what God is asking from you. What is stopping you? Again, the table, I'm telling you, is there. Jesus said, come, everything is ready. And on that cross, the door was open for you and everyone, every single person. The door was open wide so you can enter in the feast room of the King. And he's not any king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wherever you come from or wherever you've been, it does not matter your status, your education, your background, your skin color, your upbringing. It doesn't matter that you've been abandoned or you had overwhelming parents. It doesn't matter that you have a very tough upbringing with loads of conflict. It doesn't matter that you had a perfect family who really, really appreciated and encouraged you. It does not matter. The call is for you today to come. Everything is ready. Come, said Jesus, all who are weary. Come today, all who are weary with constant fighting and never winning, weary with constant pursuit of satisfaction. But every time you thought you got it, it slipped away from you. Come, all who are burdened with a life story that saddens only the thought of it. Come, those who've suffered loss, those who are burdened today with family problems that you can't see a solution to. Burdened with work, more pressure, hidden sin that constantly eats you up from inside. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. The last application is this. I've omitted the first verse in our reading with a purpose. Verse 15. Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. There is a call for now. And we better answer that call now. But also, there is a call for when he comes. When his kingdom is fully revealed, there is a call for each one of us to be in that very presence, to worship the King in his kingdom. You see, it's not just a reality here and now. It's a reality that has an impact for eternity. So I'm just telling you, if you trust in God today, you will trust in him for eternity. If you enjoy his goodness now, you enjoy his goodness in eternity. If you say yes to him now, you will be with him in eternity. Application. Whether you've been in a church or not, whether you said yes or no, I'm just going to challenge you this morning. Remember, he's coming and he's saying, come, everything is ready. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word that has power in it. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is among us and in us, and he's searching our minds and our hearts. We come with our failures. We realize we've fallen short of your glory in many ways. But we do come because of the invitations that you made. And Lord Jesus, I pray that as we spend this time in prayer and having listened to your word, you really, really search our hearts and don't let us go out of this place with a superficial faith, with a superficial commitment, with a superficial understanding of who you are. Your generosity goes beyond our understanding. Your love is overwhelming. You want us in your kingdom. If it wasn't like that, you had told us. But then, Lord, in your house, there are many, many places. And there is a place for each one of us there. Lord, I pray that you really transform us and change us. And if we never made a commitment with you, Lord, I pray that as we close our eyes and as we think of you, Lord, you really help us to make that step towards you, knowing that you will do 1,000 towards us. Father, I pray that you will work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.